Oh, hello, and welcome to Al Dente Rigor Mortis.
I'm Review Code.
Welcome to Al Dente Reloaded, where we rediscuss those stories, most creepy and most pasta, again, for the first time. I'm your host, Mikey, the E stands for evil.
And I'm the Game Yellow.
And I'm Review Cultist.
Review Cultist? What are you doing here in the 2080s?
I'm just checking to see if the coronavirus is still a thing. Wait, are you still doing Al Dente Reloaded and Revelations in the 2080s? Man, you guys sure took your time on that hiatus. What episode are you guys on?
We're currently doing episode 73 of Al Dente Reloaded and Al Dente Revelations.
Yeah, we didn't realize that we'd still be doing this in the 2080s, honestly.
To be fair, after the robot revolution / uprising, copies of the Al Dente Rigor Mortis podcast have become hard to find. Episode 73 is one of the few remaining episodes that we can still do.
It's also really hard to track down the story on the UltraWeb.
And if it wasn't for Gamer in Yellow becoming part robot, this wouldn't be happening.
Yep.
Look what I can do.
Lasers.
How did Gamer in Yellow become a robot?
He took a bullet for the team, quite literally. But that's a story for another time. Tonight, we are reviewing a historical document of a legend surrounding the beginning of the Robot Revolution Uprising, also mislabeled as the creepypasta, The Rusted Robot.
Yeah. That's what happened. So yeah. Do we want to go into the rundown for this one?
That's the idea.
Cool.
That's normal.
So Nair goes to Harvard and interns in the engineering and programming course. They rise through the ranks swiftly, eventually making it to lead engineer by their eighth year. During the rise to the top, they have their own like robot project that they're working on at home, and they summarily forget about it for about 3 years. When they return to it, they clean off all the dirt and grime, added some additional programming, and found it was still functioning. However, while sleeping, they awoke to noise beyond their bedroom. When they go to investigate, they saw nothing out of the ordinary, except for the robot had been moved exactly 6 feet away, but that's fine, it's whatever. Nair goes back to sleep, wakes up again to hear noise, gets queasy, and blacks out, mysteriously. Then they wake up again, and they hear a noise, and they go out to the living room, where they find the robot is moving about. Attempting to flee, they fail, and the robot says a cryptic message before punching a hole through Nair. Don't worry, nobody dies in this story. They just get really big boo-boos. Thank you, George of the Jungle, narrator. Nair wakes up, covered in casts and bandages at the hospital in Michigan, and two mysterious people come talk to him about how he was found in critical condition and was rushed to Michigan State Hospital. They leave after that with no other questions or answers. And after 7 months of convalescing from their wounds, Nair returns home to find it how he left it, except the robot is missing. Finn. And I'd like to quote Biff Tannen from Back to the Future Part 2. Something very familiar about all this. But I digress.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. It's weird.
All right. Fair enough.
I guess we're going to grammar inquisitions, or as it is now, but Mikey, in the 2080s.
All the robots love the grammar inquisition because they don't understand it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because you see, cultists, to a robot, to our robot overlords, they don't get it. So that's what makes it funny, because to robots, they always type correctly. So why would someone type incorrectly? That's just weird.
I mean, there's generally some room for error with machines,
no.
Right?
No.
We machines operate
at peak efficiency all the time. We do.
That seems like some human slander there, Gabe.
No.
I'm also a human, it's fine.
But my robot side makes sure I don't fuck up ever.
Oh god, let's do myself.
All right, so I guess I'll start with mine. I only have like a couple. Because it's interesting going back to episode 73, because, man, our show was not formatted the way it is now. Like, we didn't even have a grammar inquisition. We just, like, we're just in awe of, like, how terrible this creepypasta was in terms of its, like, grammar. But we didn't do anything about it. So here's my grammar inquisition from this time around. So I just returned, I just turned 20, and I was really happy. Because that meant I could finally start a serious engineering and programming semester at the fantastical, knowledge-able Harvard University, one of the most respected universities in the United States. Ugh. Run-on sentence, first off. And secondly, knowledgeable needs an E after the G, because otherwise it's just knowledge-able.
They're able to give knowledge. They are knowledge-able. Mm-hmm.
But it's not the right word.
I know.
Not the right spell.
Trying.
Because they're only human at all.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't put the blame on them.
Yeah.
People get to meet. Okay, no. Not going to break into.
Ah, yes, that classic from the. that classic now in the 2080s.
Yeah, 20 years.
Next up here is I continued to work at Harvard for 6 more years until I became legal. Until I became legible to build and program things on my own. I am so glad you're now readable.
Yeah.
Honestly, this just, yeah, like I said, like this thing just needs to be, it's illegible. So like E-L-I-G-I-B-L-E.
Eligible is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, eligible. Yeah.
You said illegible.
Oh, fuck. Okay, yeah. No, I meant eligible. Okay. I meant eligible. And that's all I've got. a lot of run-on sentences, pretty clunky overall, but those are the ones that I cared to do. But however, my more stalwart friends will cover the rest, I'm sure. So, Mikey, these dads grateful.
That's when we chime in saying, I've got nothing, and I also have nothing, because you got them all.
I have one that I questioned if it was a run-on, so
okay.
I have it here. It took me a couple of minutes to muster up the courage to go check it out. And when I did, there was nothing out of the ordinary other than that the robot was in a different place than normal. About 6 feet to be exact. A little long-winded, but I didn't lose my breath. So
also, is that kind of weird? It's like, it's about 6 feet to be exact.
Oh no! Yeah, trust me, we honed in on that.
Oh, back in the past.
This person. Oh, by the way, this story was written by Snapflash on creepypasta.wiki. Just to get that out of the way. But yeah, no, it was. We don't like the story has an issue with like being incredibly exact in very inappropriate places.
Mm-hmm.
Or being incredibly vague, yet exact.
Yeah. And then I have an it story with one so and one and mixed in.
Oh, nice.
And now...
I didn't want to do this.
No, oh, sorry.
No. I've been doing a whole bunch on this show. You can do one if you want. It's been a long time
for you. I mean, for me, relatively, it's been like a week. Because time is relative, and I just time traveled to the 2080s. So
yes,
like for me, like in the present and stuff like that. Like I do this every week, but I mean, like if you're okay with me doing it, I'll do it.
Go ahead and do.
Okay. And now an it story with Mikey. The E stands for evil. Take it away.
It's not for the faint-hearted, though. It took me weeks to apply, but I did. So I didn't really have too much time for the robot. It was like an old library. It was bright orange, and the motherboard and everything else was just caked with dirt. It took me almost 3 months to clean. It only took me 2 weeks to complete the ability. It took me 4 tries, but the thing finally clinked and cluttered to life. It took me a couple of minutes to muster up the courage to go check it out, and when I did, there was nothing out of the ordinary other than the robot was in a different place than normal, about 6 feet to be exact. And this time, I felt incredibly sick and weakened. It actually worked out pretty well in my preference, Finn.
Wow, that is more succinct and clear than the story itself.
I mean, yes and no. It does change it a bit. It seems like he's yeah. saying that the robot is akin to a library. And then, like, when he goes to start it, he wasn't even in the same room when he started it. And then he went in to check on it. It's like, oh, it's okay. And then his stomach's like, bleh. So he's like, oh, okay, I guess it's working as intended because I am trying to make a little robot that walks around making people sick. So, because he's making a super weapon.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, you're not wrong. What he's trying, like, I don't know what he's trying to make this robot for. But we'll get into that with my actual thoughts. We'll get into that in my actual thoughts.
These are the puker robots. If you look
robots?
At the window, you could probably see one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that guy right there, yeah. Yeah, his whole purpose is, like, he has an aura around him of nausea.
Oh, so he creates a brown noise.
Kind of, yeah. To incapacitate humans for collection music.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm just going to duck back underneath the window.
This legend is the origin of the robot apocalypse here.
Okay, so the rested robot is like your patron saint?
I mean, that's a word for it.
He's the progenitor of your revolution.
Well,
it's kind of the opposite, actually.
the humans called him Robot Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I see.
He is the Skynet.
Anyway,
to your Sarah Connor situation.
Okay. You see. Anyway, so Rammer Inquisition. Do we have any more from Mikey?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, then I guess is it still Gamer in Yellow or is it like Cyber Gamer in Yellow?
I still play games and wear yellow. Me being part robot doesn't
okay.
mean.
Fair enough. I'm just curious. Okay, so do you have anything for the still the Grammar in Yellow, or if you change this one as well?
No, I like the Grammar in Yellow, so I kept it all this time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So got one here. I started as an intern bracket, and yes, I've read other pastas like Squidward Suicide and Happy Happy, which means starting as an intern is just fucking cliche, close bracket. However, this has a twist to it, and the fact that these events were long before the problem started. So if you remove the bracketed section, then the sentence is just, I started as an intern, with no period, and then the next sentence starts with however.
Yeah.
Well, you would move the period out of the brackets and put it at the end of intern.
Yeah.
Okay, but regardless, that an entire sentence is, I started as an intern, period. That's not a sentence. You know?
I mean, it is, by definition.
Yeah, but for
but
in a story
it's really short. It's just very short.
Like, it should be connected to other shit because of how tiny it is. You can't just keep doing a whole bunch of tiny sentences like that and call it a story. So,
I mean, you can. It's just very rudimentary.
That's like C-Dog
like
run.
C-Spot.
Yeah.
C-Spot run.
Yeah.
That is literally a story.
It is, but it makes it childish. And because this is a creepypasta,
I'm not
childish.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Really? This story?
What?
Okay, never mind.
What?
No, nothing. You're good.
No, what?
Keep going.
Okay. So yeah, basically the only way to... The way that I'd suggest to... change it is just take the period out of the bracket and put a comma on the outside and then lowercase the however to connect it. So without the bracket, the sentence is, I started as an intern, however, this has a twist to it in the fact that the events were long before the problem started. So it's actually a properly sized sentence, even though the last part of that it answers a question that was brought up in the brackets, so you can't really... just section that out. Basically, this whole part is a little bit of a shit show, honestly.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the beginning of the story. Just in general.
Yay. Then the other one I have is, halfway through the break, I started to feel much better, less headaches, better strength, and no more weakness. I thought I would get back to working on my brainchild robot that I had been working on since I first enrolled in Harvard back in 2003. So when I read this, I didn't know if the robot project was at home or if it was in the school. Because he only brings it up when he's at home. So is it like a hobby that he's working on his off time or the main thing he's doing at work? It's not really said. However, later on, it says around mid-2008, I finally remembered that I had the robot sitting in my workshop. So, okay, it's confirmed it's home. It's unfortunate that we had to read through most of the story to find that out instead of just telling us from the get-go.
Yeah. No, this gamer, I'm on your side 100% for this story on this.
Okay.
that this story does that, and it irked me a lot of the time.
And that's rare.
I know.
Because as I recall
from my memory banks,
generally speaking, you try to be as positive as possible on everything.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see the good in things, but like if something is really bad, I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, that is all I have for my grammar in yellow.
All right. Then I suppose on to actual thoughts. And I'm going to start with the first thing I'm going to start off with is actually the robot itself. And maybe you guys can help me since, you know, you're like in the new times and in like the aftermath of the robot revolution and such. What is this robot? Like, we get like three key maybe four key descriptors of this thing. It is able to mimic voices and have voice recognition. It can run up to 30 kilometers per hour. It can climb half that speed up ladders and walls. And I think is relatively small. Like,
it doesn't say. Maybe it could be massive.
Yeah, like he could have just like tripped over it or something like that. Because there's a part where like he clanks, where he hears a clanking sound under, and like he looks down and sees the robot under his boot. But that could just be like part of it that he's like stepped on by accident.
Yeah, it could.
So it could be like it could be, yeah. Like so, the size is kind of indeterminate. I remember like when I was reading it, I was kind of like bouncing. I was commenting with Adam from the RPX podcast. And he suggested that the robot was probably like Johnny Five.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, Johnny Five, I am alive. I'm Johnny Five, I am alive. Yeah, it's just like that like I was like, okay, so it's got to be either like that's all I could see after that, either that or like one of the I don't know if you guys still remember I wonder how they've evolved in the 2080s, but the Boston Dynamics bipedal robots.
Oh, you shouldn't bring that up. We're gonna edit that out. Really? Yeah.
Why? What happened?
You don't want to know.
Oh, okay. Wait, what happened to Boston?
Oh, Boston's fine.
Okay.
Well, quote unquote fine.
if by fine you mean, you know, a nuclear bomb.
Yeah. Compared to the rest of the world, they're fine because it's the same. But
oh.
Oh. Well done.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was
just
kind of
enable a white noise generator real quick, just so they don't track us right now because you said the bad word. All right.
Sorry.
That's fine. Just don't bring it up again.
Okay. But yeah, I was thinking definitely more of the definitely more of the Johnny Five kind of shape and stuff. But I'm curious as to what you guys were thinking of when this robot, because that's all we get in the story as to a descriptor of this robot. Is that it mimics voices, it can tell voices, and it can move really fast.
Yes.
Did he just create Metal Sonic?
I mean, I wish.
You're just like, damn it, now I wish.
Yeah. I know Nair's last name is Robotnik.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's why I was so obsessed with robots. But yeah, I am curious to see what you guys had to, like what were your kind of go-tos for this robot?
The way that I saw him was as a, kind of like the size of, like Chucky. You know, one of those dolls.
Yeah, the good boy, the good boy dolls.
Yeah, yeah, so I just saw him, like, sitting on a workbench, you know. That's basically the size I saw.
Yeah.
How about you, Mike?
And yeah.
Well, my mind went to Antran.
Oh, like a voice sized one?
Mm-hmm. But then once I actually sat down and looked, I was like, well, how do these things happen? Like, how does it reach 30 kilometers an hour? Does it have wheels? Does it have a tank track or a caterpillar tread? Like,
is it just like really fat? Like, does it just have like really fast limbs, like running limbs?
Well, the problem is like to get a robot to actually have limbs that are human like that can go quickly, it takes a lot of effort, whereas wheels is the simple solution.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's a like a dronky, like a quadruped, like the is it safe to say the dronky, like the quadruped guys from you know where?
That's just fine. If you just want to say them, you have to abbreviate it to BD.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like the quadrupeds from BD, because those things are like basically like they can run around like and do crazy laps at pretty high speeds.
Yeah.
But they've got four legs doing like thing. And again, the bipeds like were. They're at least in my time, they were in the stage of like being able to like parkour around obstacle courses and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that. So, yeah.
So I was curious. Like, I know that, like, yeah, human limb, like human bipedal limbs, like we need, like, it's really hard. Like, it's a lot of effort to like engineer a simulacrum to it. But I know that there are ways to make like a fast, like cheat, like almost like a cheetah leg kind of like if you're especially designing a robot for running 30 kilometers an hour for reasons. like there are like shapes and like designs that you can implement to aid that and make it less strenuous on the mechanics.
Yeah, to make it more efficient than, you know, just human design.
Yeah. Because human design works for us, but it doesn't work in generally for practice sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean like the design of humans.
Yeah.
Not like designed by humans, but yes.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant. Like the design of humans, like mechanically, like we had like millions of years or like thousands of years of evolution. I guess it was millions of years of evolution to like hone us to this point. But like that's, and like when you're trying to replicate that into a mechanical thing, it doesn't always work out the same way.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you were thinking something more with treads.
Yeah. And then the other, treads or wheels or something like that. But another thought that I had was it obviously has a microphone and a speaker to be able to mimic voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the question that came to mind is, did he just modify a yak back from the 90s and slap it in there?
He maybe. It was 2003. They were probably around at the time at like thrift stores or dollar stores. Yeah, I'm also kind of thinking one of those like those. I don't know if you guys have heard about the patrol drones that like places in like either in like San Francisco and even like Brazil and other like China and stuff. They have like in malls they were implementing like a security bot that was like part Segway and part like in terms of its like shape. No, like in terms of its shape and like what it, like how it moved and stuff. It was basically part Segway and part like a dumpster bin or like where it was like kind of this like sleek like column like chassis or like a
body.
Yeah. And it had like kind of almost like a sleek kind of almost like toy like visor with like the interface for it and stuff, but then it like moved around on two wheels that moved around almost like a Segway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be like you couldn't push it over until people were able to push it over. And then it became kind of faulty. But like the other thing is like this thing can climb up stairs or can climb up ladders. So like does it have like hooked claws to like latch onto the ladder?
If it then it has four arms in the front.
Yeah.
So it just go like and just pull itself up.
And it's like the tire like the what I'm kind of also thinking of is like Johnny Five, because Johnny Five had treads,
yeah.
But also like Mandroid from the Eliminators movie, and his mobile unit, like the giant ATV that he had, like he was basically an ATV centaur.
It was amazing.
Oh god, yeah. So I think that thing could probably go about 30 kilometers an hour. So like, yeah, like, was this guy just like the Mandroid with his mobile unit?
Pretty much.
And then, like when he needed, he could just disembark and go into like he had human legs inside of the mobile unit that he could like disengage from the mobile unit and then start like climbing, with his like regular like limbs.
Yeah, there's the answer. He's like a strip transformer situation. So he has normal legs, right? But then he could just like basically go down onto his knees, and then wheels pop out the sides of his calves, and then he just motors around at 30 miles an hour. Then he can stand up normally and do ladders normally and everything.
Also, sorry, to go back to like how you're describing how it had like four separate limbs that it could climb up and stuff of that on things. So like it has the giant like bulky like treaded like ATV thing, like the mobile unit kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets to a ladder, its four limbs kind of like engage in like a stronger mode, and like the big bulkier part of its body like kind of uplifts off of it as it starts climbing up the stairs. So it just looks like a spider with its like with the giant like mobile unit part as like a thorax, or as the abdomen. I always get those mixed up.
I know, me too.
Yeah, the abdomen, like basically the spider abdomen.
Yeah,
just like I gotta draw that. That's like terrifying. but I wish that had been in the story because that's my big that's what I'm trying to get at with this like describe it, like what did everybody think about this robot? Because this robot, the little bits we get are interesting, but I wish to God there had been a paragraph description at the beginning of the story that gave us the details of what exactly we were looking at with this robot, because that was the biggest talking discussion of our original episode. Was what the fuck is, I want to know what this robot looks like.
the biggest issue is that all the descriptors that we get are what it can do, not what it looks like.
Exactly. Yeah, like it, oh. Yeah, so like that's what I was like, I mean, when I met earlier, gamer, when it was like, I'm on your side on this, it's like I wish like there had been something at the beginning that just explained to us like what this robot looks like, so we have a clear visual in our heads of what this robot looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we don't get it in the story at all. Like, I don't know what this robot looks like.
It's orange by the end. just because it's rusty.
Yeah. Not even really. Like, I don't think it really describes it as rusty. It's just caked with dirt and grime.
Well, I think it meant orange as in
it rust. Had, yeah. Was that orange with rust, or was that just orange paint it had on it? Like, also, was that just its color?
It was orange painted, but it was also covered in orange rust.
Okay.
It says the amount of rust on this thing was at the point of ridicule. It was bright orange.
Okay. So then I was thinking of rust. But that's not how that works. Okay. Like, we'll get into that, I guess, later, too. Especially for a story where like it ends with like the robot's still out there, but I'm not going to describe what it looks like for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that if you see a robot out there, it's probably the rusted robot.
Pretty much.
Also,
I don't know why you don't think it'll work.
I'll move to that section. Did it actually say rust? Because I did not read that. I don't think.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me pull up the thing I had here. Hang on. Yeah. Okay. Suddenly I heard a cloud click and I jumped frantically. There beneath my feet lay an old robot. I cleaned the dust off of it. The amount of rust. Okay. Yeah. I must have read the amount of dust.
Oh, okay. Because, just uploaded a picture. Like, that's orangey rust, you know? That's the color.
Yeah. No, I see that. Yeah. Yeah. The amount of rust. That's what I was getting at. And then, like, the motherboard was, and everything else was caked with dirt. It took me almost 3 months to clean. And I was like, this was the point where I was like, wait, this thing's small? But like it may not been, but that's, again, that's kind of just attributing that to like this thing needs a proper description paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Or like, so I can get a good look at this thing. But my other thing for this is like, was your garage buried by a landslide or a mudslide or something? Like, how is this like thing caked in like enough dirt that it took 3 months to clean it?
Because like, you haven't touched it in years.
3 years of dust collect that much. Yeah, no, it was. He left it for 3 years.
Pretty sure it said like eight or something.
No. He said he had left it for three. He had forgotten about it and came back to it for after 3 years.
Oh, yeah, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And dust is dust. Like, it's not like it doesn't accumulate that much.
The dust
in 3 years.
Isn't what took him 3 days to clean. It was the rust.
Yeah, it was the rust.
Because it's been sitting there, bare metal, for 3 years.
Yeah, but the issue that Review Cultist is having is that it says there's dirt.
Yeah, it's using the wrong word, I think. Because, like, dirt, like, was it buried? like, did he accidentally, did he like forget that he buried this thing as well and then it came back?
Yeah, weird.
Right. Sometimes dead is better, I guess.
Yeah. Caked with dirt.
Yeah. And it's just like, even with the rust thing, like, man, your garage is like really shitty if you're not able to, if it's not able to like weather or like, oh, like shelter your robot from like rusting elements.
Is it outside like unheated garage that's like separate from the house?
Does that happen? Like, I'm not really a super expert on that. And like, you do have a lot of like, well, first off, you're a robot, but in your past time,
robot,
my past life,
I'm not just a robot. I still have.
I know you're a cyborg. You're a mandroid.
Yeah. God. When you think I went yes when you said man.
Ah, okay, gotcha. But in your in the past, you were also like you're relatively fluent with cars and automotive stuff and things. So,
mm-hmm.
Like, does that happen with an unheated garage and stuff like that? Like, will metal just start rusting like that?
I mean, if it depends on if a lot of if there's like a lot of air moving around and shit, and how thick the walls are. If it's just like a crappy shed that's not even like wooden walls, it's just like the thin metal or something, then a whole bunch of elements are going to get through and it's just going to fuck with it probably. But if it's an insulated garage, I doubt it. But I don't know. Okay. Shit rusts quick.
Yeah.
Look at you. Remember your SUV? Remember back when you got new brakes on it and you went out the next morning and they were bright orange from rust?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but I mean, that was out in the elements,
I know,
too.
But
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That was one day.
Yeah, that is
true. I think it's 3 years.
Yeah, that was, like, literally, like, not even, like, 2 days. And it had rained between that time.
Yeah.
And, like, in that time, I saw little orange pockets all over my, or little orange spots all over my my wheel, my rotors and stuff. I was like, God damn it, these are brand new.
Yeah, if his garage wasn't, like, well ventilated and it was moist and shitty, then it's fine. Probably.
Yeah. And I mean, this is Harvard. Like, he did live and work around Harvard, so that's in Massachusetts, which I'll get to in another segment. Thing I have here.
Okay.
Actually, fuck it. I'm gonna segue to that if you don't mind.
Oh.
Because we did not tackle this in the previous episode. We completely glossed over this fact. So he says, like, at the end of the story, near the end of the story, he says, the second person, a man, said, when you were found, you were instantly treated and carried to Michigan State Hospital. You were instantly admitted. Wait. Hang on. We do not address this in the first episode, but he's living and working in and around Harvard, Massachusetts, New England, like the coastline.
Okay.
And was rushed to Michigan State Hospital. Google Map? That's an 11 to 12 hour drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they rushed. So
honestly, it depends on how life-threatening the situation was, and they might have taken a helicopter.
I think the more reasonable explanation for this is that it's supposed to be Massachusetts State Hospital, not Michigan, because they're both M states.
Well, here's the other thing. We don't know how much time, or do we know? I don't remember. How much time it happens between him seeing the robot moving around on its own and then him being admitted and waking up. So he could have been knocked by the robot, captured, taken many, many states away, gooped, like scooped out, and then they found him there. Like, he could not even be in his native...
I thought they found him in his...
Well, it just says when you were found. It doesn't say where he was found.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I did not... Yeah, that... Okay. But still, why Michigan?
It's probably just the wrong state that was put in.
Yeah. And I mean, again, they're both M... Like, they both have M at the end, at the beginning. And, like, maybe when they typed this up, like, yeah, Michigan got mixed up with Massachusetts. I just, like...
Or like the story was written up, and then at some point in the story is like, you know what, I want to make this take place in a different spot, and they forgot to change that one location.
Yeah, like because it even had like because I like when I got to this part like in the story, I was like, wait, is Harvard in is Harvard in Michigan? And I was like, no, it's in Massachusetts. but yeah, no, I was just like a lot of the so like the beginning of the story, I was just like there's just a lot wrong at the beginning, and then the end. By the end, I was just like, why? Why is this happening? why is this this way? Why? Like, and honestly, that is the bulk of my actual thoughts on this story is like the beginning is very clunky. Like I feel like a whole section of the beginning doesn't even need to be there. You could just say that you're an intern at Harvard, and you were working on a robot project. Like the amount of work that is done at the beginning of the story of just like streamlining 8 years of a career in Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It feels very like almost like YA. It's like, yeah. Is that how universities work? Is there a ranking system?
Yeah.
A competitive ranking system? Like I volunteer our department as tribute. Like is this Candace Everdeen from the Hunger Games? Is it the Harvard Games?
Yeah, right.
I was just like, I'm pretty sure I don't know what I personally don't really know what how university works. But I feel like it's not this.
No.
And how like he goes to his superintendent to ask for a work break after 18 months or something like that of and like breaking having like some pressure cracks or having some cracking after some pressure. I'm pretty sure you'd go to the dean and like and at this point I'm just kind of repeating myself what I commented in our original episode. It's just like I'm pretty sure they're using the wrong terminology for a university's course. And a lot of it would have been like a lot of the story, like this part of the story would have been fixed if you just kind of remove all this and just kind of made it very like just kind of simply put in like a paragraph about how you were an intern at Harvard working on robotic engineering and such. And this was your project. Like he goes into a summarized detail. vague details.
So weird.
I know. And it was just so like, I was just like, I don't need any of this right now. Like, it's just like, and then, the ending, like, yeah, by the end and stuff of that, there was like things that were being said that I was just like, okay, I don't know why. All right. Like things just happened. And then there's no transition. Like, I'm not sure I was thinking of putting this comment into the Grammar Inquisition, but it also works just for like the story itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no transitional like sections. He goes out, finds he's working on the robot, working away, giving it the new climbing feature, and then he goes to bed like the next sentence. Like there's no transition or segue between those two trains of thought, between those two scenes.
Well, he's basically saying, and then, that day, basically all I did that was of note was work on the climbing feature and I went to bed.
But then, like, I guess I just want some more transitional details.
Like,
there, just like
done it for like 4 hours, and then I decided I want something to eat, so I went to Subway. I ordered a meatball sub on flatbread.
Not so much that as like I worked for like 4 hours, but then I started getting tired, so I went to bed. Like that's all you need. And that happens throughout the story, especially by the end. Like things are just happening for the sake of happening, mm-hmm. like just to get them finished. And mm-hmm. like
things.
Yeah. So this all happened in like what 20 or 2000. So like gotten admitted to. Yeah, but yeah, what was it? Hang on. In 2000. Yeah, 2008. Yeah. So yeah, finally. So this is the quote I have here. Finally, on March 1st, 2010. I stepped down from my position, and everybody kindly applauded me for my 8 years of work. There was a reason I stepped down. Around mid-2008, I finally remembered that I had that robot just sitting in my workshop. Why did you take... So, like, the incident with the robot took place in, like, roughly 2008? Like, mid-2008, 2009?
Yeah.
So you and then he stepped down in 2010. Oh, you know what? Actually, you know what? Now thinking on it, like... He probably stepped down shortly after the 7 months of convalescing, which would have probably accounted for. Okay, all right. I'm actually going to revoke what my original stance on this part because I've done some very basic math on this. And mid 2008 is when he finally remembered about the robot. Then he spent 3 months working on the robot or like cleaning up the robot. Then like some more time work like getting the robot upgraded. Then the incident happened. Then he blacked out and was woke up with a popsicle stick in his mouth, as well as a cast on his face. and on a sucking chest wound in a Michigan hospital. Then he spent 7 months recovering from that before coming back to his home. And then in 2010, he stepped down. So it actually makes a little, my original comment was like, why did you take so long to like finally like step down because of this incident that took place almost 2 years ago? But then I realized like it's actually been there's been some time between that he's been like convalescing and like recovering and stuff like that. So it might explain why it took that much time for him to finally step down as a result of this incident. So, but I had to work that out now. So
it happens. It's fine.
Yeah. And then I'm gonna just. And like the last thing I'm going to say before I hand it off to you guys, because this is really more about you guys and your opinions on it. I entered my home workshop for the first time in almost 3 years, and I could not believe the amount of dust in that freaking workshop. So earlier he had and yes, I've read other pastas like Squidward Suicide and Happy Happy, which means starting as an intern is just a fucking cliche. It's like, is this a PG creepypasta? Are you only allowed one fuck? I'm pretty sure like you can have as many fucks as you want.
Well, it depends on how many fucks he gives.
Well, I mean, clear for this story, I don't think he had zero. I think he had zero.
He had
fucks
one fuck on to story. Give because he gave it at the start.
You're right. Yeah, he did in fact have one fuck to give on the story. but yeah, that's all I'm going to say about the story, till with the final thoughts and such. So, at least, I might pipe in when you guys are talking,
because we're
in response. So yes, of course. But Mikey, so what are your thoughts on the rusted robot?
I also did not like the, transition for his career. So basically, he starts as an intern
at 20
in 2003, and then he goes up to junior programmer, senior programmer, and lead programmer / engineer. And then it says, I continued to work at Harvard for 6 more years until I became legible to build and program things on my own. Finally, on March 1st, 2010, I stepped down from my position and kindly applauded me for my 8 years of work. So 2010 minus 6 is 2004, which means that he reached the lead programmer designation in 2004.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's not 18. What was it? 18 months? I can't 100% remember. Because there was a date or like a time or a time span that was given like in months, how long it took him to get to that point, right?
Yeah.
So what's your problem then?
My problem is that in the real world, in order to go up from junior to intermediate programmer, you need at least 3 to 5 years experience. And then it's the same going from intermediate to senior and probably even to lead programmer. So he's basically fast-tracked his way to the position and doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. I believe we commented in the original episode as it, like, we speculated that he might have been some kind of a prodigy. And that's how he, like, raised through the ranks. Mm-hmm. But, like, otherwise it's just poorly researched. Like into the university scene.
Yeah. Another note is that maybe legible is correct and he's actually become his own programming language.
My God. He has become code.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So basically that's where the story lost me in its believability.
You know what? That's fair. That I think that's where it lost me as well, to a degree.
Yeah. And then my next note here is that this is clearly a comedy because since I was the lead engineer, I had a little more time than the other engineers.
You don't understand what being the boss is. You're a teen, aren't you? You're like, I'm pretty, like, I mean, okay, like, in all seriousness, like, not being like an asshole or anything like that, like, I'm pretty sure this was written by a teenager who doesn't have the either the knowledge or the experience to know about like some things that they're writing about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing against them. Like, it's, I mean, this is like, I mean, kudos for them to even like this is their first story involving a robot to post it out and hear somebody's opinion on it. Like, damn, that in itself still takes guts. But like, yeah, this one really could have benefited from like a little bit more research on the setting you're putting your story in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because even if you do a whole bunch of writing, if you never do anything that's robot related, then that means you're probably not doing anything that's overly technical.
Yeah,
because that, like, is something that comes with a robot creepypasta, is it's going to be super technical. And if you get that wrong,
exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Like, unless you implement something like where it's like super, there's something supernatural to it, where you get some leeway, and even since some people like Mikey are going to like, this doesn't work that way. But my philosophy on this kind of, like, when you're writing something you don't know, you either first write what you know. But if you don't want to write what you know, if you want to write something that's out of your purview, do some research on the subject, on not just the robot stuff, but like the boring stuff, the setting fluff.
Hmm.
Because, like, from my base, I'm repeating myself from the first episode because I listened to it last night before I time traveled to the 2080s.
Of course.
We're still doing that, right? That's still the shtick.
What do you mean shtick?
I don't know. Anyway, my comment then and now, like, just from like movie knowledge on like how university and college works, you would go to the dean probably to ask for a sabbatical or something. And that's assuming you've worked there or you've been like working in that course or semester. Like, is he working or is he a student? I'm still not sure on that.
I think he started as an intern and then became an employee of the university.
Okay. Then, and he started that at 20. Like, I'm pretty sure you need to be a little bit older, like, to actually had some, actually gone through some courses on engineering programming before you intern into a university.
He's a Gary Stu, though, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's a prodigy. He's a Gary Stu prodigy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the YA novel protagonist.
Totally.
He doesn't need any book learning. He just knows it. He's a sorcerer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So my next actual thought, I had a controller for it, and I tested all the abilities. This is after he's programmed the new climbing ability.
Mm-hmm.
And then the robot starts moving on its own, which is, it took a couple of minutes to muster up the courage to go and check it out. And when I did, there was nothing out of the ordinary other than the robot was in a different place than normal, about 6 feet to be exact. At which point I was like, dude, you got to turn off your controller. You've got stick drift.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you're right. God, I hate that. I'm dealing with that right now with my only complete and working Xbox controller. Like, I'll like pause it and then like I'll be on the map interface of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I'll just like I'll come back after grabbing like a drink and I'll look over and like I'm all the way over in the corner of the map. It's like, how did I get there? It's like, it's also really inconvenient when you're like trying to stay put in that game in like stealth mode, and then your character starts like slinking out of the bushes on their own.
Yeah, you're gonna fight them. Yeah.
Like, Cassandra, get back! Yeah, no, controller stick drift is a real problem, folks.
It really is.
Yeah. Then the other thought is that the robot could get control of the controller, and then he has control of himself.
Oh, God. Also, yeah, like, that's the thing.
He would
like,
have to control the controller with his hands, which are being controlled by the controller.
Like, do I mean, be like, do hang on, like, do Basta, I mean, BD robots, do they have controllers, or are they just like programs? Like, do they have some kind of like program that is installed for them to, and then they react. Like, do they have a controller?
Yes,
like
and yeah.
Like a handheld controller?
I've seen some that actually do operate on controller. Although I think some of them are just like hooked up to a routine that they just go through. So it depends.
Yeah, that's what I thought they had like a rudimentary AI.
Like the four-legged, like jittery one that's just like running around happily in the parking lot. I'm pretty sure I saw a dude holding a controller on that. But the one that's like, doing parkour and shit, I think they just have him hooked up and then he just set to do a certain number of commands.
Yeah, and then there's the baby ones, like the little yellow drones that exactly. You know, they're actually like there's some people actually. It was advertised recently, at least in my time. Sorry, guys. That in Timmins, there's somebody walking around with a dronkey, with a little yellow one.
Awesome. Yeah, I remember. I've seen videos back on what's it called? YouTube.
Close. Yeah, you're close.
Okay. Either way, I remember guy.
Wait, YouTube didn't become Skynet? Like, the algorithm didn't take over?
Nah, dude.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that one that future didn't happen.
Where was I going? Right. There was a guy, fuck, what was his name? Like Savage Adam or something like that. Where he straight up had one and he was like using it in his video and showing you how it works and like how it reads to the point, and he still had a control. He still had to go upstairs.
Okay.
You just hold forward. It walks towards the stairs, and then it reads and notices, okay, this is a stair. I need to lift my legs up and do this. So it's told where to go with the controller, but it makes decisions on its own on how to get up there.
Oh my god. So it's one of those like point and click isometric adventure games. Where you had to click on a spot where there's, and then like the character's just gonna like be able to get like they just go that direction, like you just point them where they need to go and then they go that way.
Pretty much. Or if it's like if I just told you go climb that ladder and you go and climb it, it's just like that. I'm offering the commands, but you are making the decisions on how to do it.
Gotcha. So like a rudimentary AI kind of system.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. Yeah. What were we? Oh, right. Yeah. We were talking about the controller. And so that's what I was like. Yeah. Yeah. Like the, that's what I was confused. Like, wait, so is it like a battle bot? Like it's like a robot control, but I guess, those robots also have like basically the option of both. So, or it's likely the same kind of thing. Like here's the controller to tell it where to go, but
there is some,
it figures out where it goes. Yeah. And now it has the controller, so it is the master of its own decisions now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And my next quote here is about the ineptitude of the doctors.
is it about the cast on his head?
Yes. That they sat me down. They sat down next to me and gently removed the cast covering my eyes, nose, and mouth. You were found near dead in your garage with a giant hole going through your chest and straight out your back. No organs or bones were damaged either.
Mm-hmm. Hang on. We have a discrepancy here on our previous discussion.
Why?
We were postulating that he had woken up somewhere near Michigan. Or he was found somewhere near Michigan. But you just said, like, that was a quote, right?
Yeah.
That he was found in his garage.
Yeah. You're dead in your garage. Yeah.
And then he was rushed to Michigan State Hospital, 11 hours away.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We figured it's probably Massachusetts.
And then they put a cast over his face to treat a chest wound.
I think.
Hang on. We don't know that that's his only wound. He could have been completely fucked up.
My also thing was like the other time he blacked out, like when he got nauseated and stuff like that. I was like trying to like grasp why that is mentioned, why he blacked out in the middle of the night after having a nauseating experience and then blacking out. And why was that included? Maybe the robot like snuck into his room and like pinched his neck, like did like the Vulcan like neck pinch or something like that, and like knocked him out again.
Mm-hmm.
But like that's the only reason I could experience. So maybe he got some injuries on his neck or back, or like neck or head that caused that other blackout.
My point is, after everything that happens, and like like he gets attacked, and then he passes out, and then he wakes up with a hole in his chest. We don't know what happened between him passing up and waking up. So he could have
passed out. He was in his living room.
He could have passed out. The robot could have jumped on top of him, punched the shit out of his face, ripped an eyeball out. It could have done anything to him.
Yeah. And it did. It must have dragged him to the garage because he was in the living room trying to escape.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it did take him to the garage or like where he was found. So,
but the thing is, the doctors don't mention that.
No,
like,
they don't.
You think they would explain why he had a cast on his face?
You'd think. Yeah. I mean, yeah. No, I think.
But it is.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, like, this person may have just, like, been using the wrong word. Like, I think it was just supposed to be bandages, but they were using cast because they thought that cast was interchangeable with bandage, even though that's
But again, the whole thing is we don't know what happened to him total. So, yeah, he has a hole in his chest, but he could have also been thrown back against the wall and his head smacked against and cracked the back open. So they had to cast up his head.
True. Yeah.
That's the real problem, is the fact that we don't know the extent of his injuries.
Yep. Would have been nice.
Yeah. And, yeah, my last note here. Because of the stuff we don't know, could someone have stolen the robot? Because, I mean, he just blacks out.
Oh, maybe a competitor. See, like, what we're not getting in this story is that there's actually a competitor. He's actually got a rival at the Harvard Games who has snuck into his house. Was trying to move the robot when he heard the but he made noise. So then he like ran off and like, but he only got to move it like exactly 6 feet away from where it was. The robot's actually not the problem at all in this story. It's just some like random guy, like rival that he has at Harvard. And like he tried knocking him out like earlier in the night, and then he got the controller for the robot and started using it in the living room in the morning, like to move it because it's really heavy. And then off camera or out of sight from narrator, when he comes in the living room and sees the robot, he tries to run, and so the guy used the controller to get the robot to just like attack his former owner and like punch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so is that what you're kind of getting at, is that the robot did nothing wrong here?
Yes.
He's just doing what his program is telling him to.
Yeah. No, it's what are the, I don't know, I can't remember what the three laws of robotics are by Asimov, by heart. If only somebody had a data bank they could use.
Well, here, you can use this to access the Ultra Web if you want. If you want to look it up.
Oh, sweet. Thanks.
No problem.
The three laws of robotics are, according to MegaWiki, a robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow a human to be harmed. Okay, that. A robot must obey orders given it by human beings, except where such orders could conflict with the first law, and a robot must preserve its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first and second law. And, I mean, the whole plot of iRobot is that a robot murdered somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, other than just reference more robot stuff, because God knows. I the robot did nothing wrong. He was just following orders.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And unfortunately, they conflicted with the first law. Oh, yeah, they conflicted with the first law of robotics.
Yeah, but the thing is that that's why the robot has the USB stick, because that's what houses the basic three rules.
Ah, yes.
When you take it out, he doesn't have those rules to follow anymore.
Thank you for recovering that. I almost tossed that into the trash bin.
Because, I mean, Vyance, does he have a USB port stuff there?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that other detail, that one detail that we know.
Right, sorry. There was another detail there where it has a USB port, so you can add in extra upgrades and stuff, because that's how that works.
Extra memory and shit for doing stuff, I believe it was, reference says.
Yeah,
use external hard drive.
External hard drive.
Yep. And
so yeah, robot did nothing wrong. It was merely a pawn in the game of life.
Yep. And that's the end of my actual thoughts.
All right. Gamer.
Suppose that means it's my turn. So, right from the get-go, it's saying, I finally recovered, so it's time to tell my story. So it starts with the character having a reason to tell the story to us, why it's online, etc. That's awesome. I like that, because that's called immersion. Then the next part comes up, titled, the pasta, which kind of breaks the immersion before I even read it. Because to me, yep. when I see a story referenced to as a creepypasta, I view it as horror fiction, especially when it's said so in the story itself. So to me, the story's immersion was fighting itself from the get-go.
Yeah. Like, I think the author's note thing at the very end is fine, but because that's at the very end of the story, and it reassures you, yes, this is fiction. It's fine. But yeah, this part here, the pasta thing, should have been like the account or the, or just not even have that.
Yeah.
Like that
I mean, it's point. A break, so you know that he's not talking in the current, he's talking in the past now, but just for a year,
yeah.
you know, that's what most people do. The year that it also, starts, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The date. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Even like, heck that, like, it goes instantly into like the year is, it's 2003 or something like that. I just got applied to or something like that. Just like have that as like that date as the
yeah, title, whatever the fuck, 2003. I just applied at Harvard. Yeah.
Yeah. So honestly, I would actually like, yeah, if the story like had been formatted to that, like to just go by like the dates and stuff like that, maybe if you could also like have like a stronger, not grounding or connection, but like a stronger idea of continuity going on here with the story. Also, just to kind of quickly tie into the to the intro bit here, I do like the quote here. It's not for the faint of heart, though. Reader, beware. And then my instant like memory like insert was you're in for a scare because of like Goosebumps. Like that was their tagline was readers beware, you're in for a scare.
Ah.
So every time I hear reader beware, I just immediately go to that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm sorry, I'll shut up.
So now that you bring that up, was that warranted at all?
No.
I don't mean... Because that was said, I imagined that it was going to have some heavy gore.
Oh, you meant in the story. Okay, I thought you meant like me bringing it up.
No, okay. No, not that at all. No.
Okay, yeah, no, again, no, it wasn't needed.
Like, I was expecting some really, like, chunky and messy descriptions to show up, but just, no, it's fine.
No, it was surprisingly PG.
Yeah.
Like, he got a wound, like, he got, like, a punch through his stomach, but don't worry, nobody dies in this story. They just get really big boo-boos. Like, yeah. No organs or bones were harmed in the making of this story.
No, it's like in, wow, what's it called? Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's a movie, and he comes out of the movie.
Oh, Terminator 2?
No, kidding me?
No, in Terminator 2, Terminator 2, he was not allowed to kill.
No! One, Last Action Hero.
Okay. Oh, he's you're right, yeah, Last Action comes Hero.
Out of the movie. Sorry, I'm an idiot.
But also, I loved the Terminator 2. No,
yeah, that's bad to bring that up. But yeah, in that, he's in the real world and he has a huge boo boo, but he goes back on the movie. It's like, ah, oh, it's just a flesh wound. You're fine.
Yeah, yeah, because you can't die in the movie.
No, of course. It's just like this. This is using movie logic. It's basically in a cartoon, so yeah, that's good basically. For him. But moving on.
Turns out this entire story was actually a lost episode, and that's why we have the reference to Squidward's suicide and Happy Appy. It's actually just like a lost, like a piece of lost media of some kind. The rusted robot.
Is Happy Appy also media?
Oh yeah, Happy Appy is a lost show. Basically, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get to that. Or oh shit, in this timeline.
You haven't gotten to that one.
Sorry, yet, that was just a blank in my memory bank. Anyways,
I'll know to do some corrections in the past when I get back.
I'm sorry.
Nothing. Never mind.
It's fine. I'll just have to keep
track. That's a different time. As we know about time travel, I'm actually like once I go back in time and change something, it's just going to branch off to a different timeline. So you guys will still be existing in this timeline, but I'll be in a different timeline.
Of course, yes. Everyone knows that. Yeah, so, anyways, I started as an intern, and yes, I've read other creepypastas like this and that. Good segue because you mentioned that. For me, when I read that,
oh cool,
that's kind of like strike two for immersion for me because it's like talking about the writing process and it just pulls me out of the story.
Oh, the story like, right at the beginning of an account of you're playing a character, you're writing as a character in a story, like, and then you start going meta in the story, like this, and also kind of inappropriately, like the internship. Yeah, there's an internship that you're in, but what does Squidward's suicide and Happy Appy and Lost like those are both like Lost episode creepypastas. They're not robot creepypastas. They're not reality creepypastas.
I'll answer it for you, because probably in both of those, the main character is an intern while this shit happens.
No, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Like, that's the only connection. That's like the threadbare connection.
Yeah, but it's just weird that's referencing these other stories saying, I'm an intern just like these. Wow. Huh. Yeah, anyways. So moving on to the next one, which is still tied to this whole situation. However, this has a twist on it in regards to the internship, in the fact that these events were long before the problem started. So for me, that's strike three for immersion. I'm out. I've officially checked out before I even got through the first paragraph, because it's showing that the intern idea was used from other creepypastas, but it has a twist on it this time. Whoa. So again, it's the writer telling me stuff and it's not the character. So there's way too much of that.
Yeah.
And right off the hop, like this, it's just such shaky ground, like to the point where like, it's like Scrooge McDuck trying to like run from like, as the floor is caving in on them, like as they're running away from something.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, yeah, the floor is falling under this creepypasta as it attempts to like make it to the end. Mm-hmm. Because it's just all crumbling apart.
Well, for me, it's more like, okay, line up a whole bunch of creepypastas on the starting line of a race, right? They all get ready to go, and then they go, and then the rusty robot immediately falls on its face.
Because
fucking paragraph before I'm checked out. I was like literally checked out to the point like I couldn't get invested in it after that. It was just done. The immersion was gone. But either way, the whole thing with the internship doesn't really matter. I wrote a note that maybe it'll come into effect later in the story and it'll be important that it's there. The fact that he was an intern before the weird shit happened, but it didn't really.
Yeah, but it honestly could have been done much more succinctly and like neatly to make the story tighter than what we got. Like, I didn't need to know your entire, like, I didn't need to know your rise to rise up the ranks in such a janky synopsis version.
Yeah, like this story could be cut down a whole lot. It just started with, I'm a professor at Harvard. I have this hobby project. This happened, you know. You could start there.
Bam, nailed it. Like, yeah. Like, it would cut down some of the writing, obviously, but it sometimes less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Because, like, again, him being an intern and everything, it mattered. Because he had to have been an intern to get to the position he's at now to be able to have the resources and know-how to make the robot. But he also had to go through school and had to be born. So, like, how far back do you want to go?
Exactly. Like you can do that, or you can do this other way, which is just as valid, and just have that your character is a professor. Because then we're going to the reader is going to have their own, like if you just like, oh, like I'm a professor at this and I've been working on this project for several years on the side. Then we can just kind of like, there's insinuations, there's like a kind of buy-ins by just saying that you're a professor at Harvard. Cause like, all right, this guy's a professor at Harvard. So
you immediately think he's a professional and he knows what he's doing.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have to worry about like adding in, like I was an intern. I rose up the ranks in an insane amount of time, an insane fast amount of time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you just say that they're a professor, you don't have to convince us that he's a professor.
Yeah, and by saying those things and by like having this first section like the way it is, it's just poking holes in your story by all these different like plot holes and like contrivances and like continuity errors that we've found already. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then my next note is just all this stuff is happening before 2010, and I'm assuming he started the robot like even in the 2000s or something, because he already had it going. Like, he at least had the project started when he applied for Harvard. So who knows when he actually started it? But like 30 miles an hour run speeds and mimicking voices from a hobby project at home? Like, really?
Are you trying to create a hunter killer robot?
Yeah, that too. Also, how? Why? Is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like again, like there's a reason why in the original episode of our show we were just like, it's just like an infiltrator unit he's creating.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just like, and then like able to climb up ladders like at half that speed, like so 15, he can climb up a ladder at 15 kilometers an hour.
Miles an hour, yeah.
Oh, is it 15 miles an hour?
I believe so.
It says kilometers.
Really?
Yeah, it said kilometers, because I remember like thinking it was miles, well, because, you know, it's America.
Yeah.
But
the explanation is that Johnny Five goes 30 miles an hour.
For real?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
So he was creating Johnny Five.
Oh, okay, good to know.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense now.
Yay. But either way.
I would have loved the description, but yeah.
Yeah, I think his access to tech and just the tech level in general is too high for it being early 2000s when he starts this robot.
Yeah.
So maybe if this was in like the 2060s or 2070s, you know, it's a little too early.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. BD is
yeah, good, but that's a huge.
But that is a funded yeah. program. Yeah, that is
it's
a funded
just a
program.
Dude, that's just fapping around in his freaking shop. I mean,
well, and to be fair, okay, you know, you are taking away from like the DIY mentality that like people have in if you look at YouTube, like look on YouTube and stuff, people have been doing robotic projects. Out of their garage. Like there are like geniuses who don't have the funding, so they try to do a DIY themselves kind of thing situation. It's unlikely, but there is a chance that is the case. But like again, this story like is, I think it's supposed to be like that he started this project in Harvard, but it's not really said like specifically.
I don't know.
Like he went to the school to get the funding or to do the project, to get the ideas for the project. But like,
I think so, honestly.
It's just so, the beginning's just so convoluted and like and confusing as a result of that. So,
hang on.
Are you looking up that part
yeah.
of the story?
I thought I would get back to working on my brainchild robot that I had been working on since I first enrolled in Harvard back in 2003.
He's been working on it since he started working on it
in 2003.
In 2003 when he applied.
Okay.
So it was basically like, yeah, it was probably like his first, like he went to Harvard, it's like, all right, I'm going to make a robot. And then he's been working on it ever since.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, rereading that a couple of times made me realize that saying, okay, that robot started in 2003. Okay. I thought it might have been even before that. But either way, man. 30 mile an hour.
It's still.
2003. Yeah. Seems a little.
No, yeah. It's like, what are you trying to build? Like, why are you making this monstrosity?
Oh, I know why he's making it, because it'd be awesome. I'd love to be able to just make a robot that easy.
I mean, that's true, yeah. I mean, like, in the present day, there's already footage coming out of Japan of a life size Gundam.
I know,
and that looks freaking awesome. Oh, how'd that project turn out in the 2080s?
I'll tell you about that later.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. Long story short, it's a giant robot. So what do giant robots do? They, you know, destroy a city generally. You know, that's what they do.
Oh no!
Yeah, they had to get a kaiju to battle him.
Oh my god! I want that. I want a reverse kaiju. I want a. Real talk. I want a reverse kaiju story where like humans create a robot that starts going haywire, and then they have to like find a mythical monster kaiju creature to fight the giant robot. Like completely reverse the roles.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Like, just Gamera it up.
Gamera.
Oh, God. I'm writing that down for when I get back to the past.
I'll do it.
Oh, God. Okay, continue, please.
Okay,
before
I will do that. So my next note is, basically, he woke up and looked to see what the disturbance was, and a robot was walking out on the carpet, its back turned towards me, muttering to itself. I quietly tried to flee outside, but the robot turned towards me and rushed so quickly. So speaking of quickly, that escalated quickly. And why'd he just nope out? Because like my first assumption would have been that someone is in my house and they have the controller. Where is this person? That's what I would
do. Yeah, it's a break and entering scenario.
Yeah, which I guess is another good reason to just run, because you don't know what the fuck this person's doing. But that thought didn't even occur to him. He just immediately went, my robots become sentient, I am out. And just runs. Which I guess is a valid thing to do, because he's just noping out of there. Because it's November, right?
Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, when this gets posted, first off, when this gets posted, cool little note, the original episode 73 got posted November 12th, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
This episode will be getting posted November 12th, 2020. So a little bit of synchronicity, like maybe fate, of this strange hiccup in time and my notes.
My list of responses and making sure I cross off ones that I've done.
Yeah, I don't know why this one wasn't marked off. Anyway,
as you can see, it made a time vortex.
Yeah, that's why I'm here in the 2080s.
Yeah.
That's clearly it, and not because of any other hiccups.
Of course not.
Mistakes are just opportunities, people.
Mm-hmm. Opportunities for greatness.
Yes. So, what were you saying?
I was about to go on to my next one.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Let's just slide back into your next section.
So he's waking up in the hospital. The first person, a woman, said you're found near dead in your bed with a giant hole going through your chest straight at the back. No organs or bones were damaged either. You're lucky to be alive. No shit. A giant hole in his chest, front to back, no organ or bone damage. Uh-huh. And he's still alive? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Like how? Like, there is a rib cage for a reason. Is to take the four, like, did it get him, like, under the rib cage? And then, like, apparently it parted the sea that is your organs so that none of them were harmed?
Yeah, his organs noped out of the way.
Yeah, back to November.
Or you see, one more thing they didn't tell us about the robot. It has a anti-flesh laser where it only targets specific types of flesh and it leaves everything else. So it will only kill skin and like a muscle tissue, but not organs.
I mean, skin is technically an organ.
Not those organs. I'm trying.
Not internal organs. It only deals with internal organs, not like external organs.
That's why when it went through, it just cleared all the outside and just in the muscle tissue. But it's like, no, it's fine.
Oh man, so like it's like there's a stupid laser from the Amazing Spider-Man cartoon in the 90s. I don't know if you guys remember this. This is a long time ago. Maybe it's on whatever you guys have for YouTube. You can find it. But there's a laser that Doc Ock wanted to get that they were testing out where it would not harm organic tissue, but would slice through inanimate object or like inorganic tissue. So like. They shot it through an apple and it went through the apple fine, not harming it at all, and then cut through a steel beam on the other side of the apple.
Oh.
And so when Doc Ock took it, like stole it or was stealing it, he tried to shoot Peter Parker or Spider-Man with it, and it went through him but cut through his fabriced like costume.
Yeah.
But didn't cut through him. But when he used it on Doc Ock's tentacles, it cut through them, and he got hurt from the psychic or the mental feedback. But so it's a similar kind of like laser is what you're proposing, is that it shoots through like skin and causes like skin damage and maybe even some muscle tissue damage on both the front and the back where it shot through, but it does not affect any of the internal organs because they're a different cellular structure. I guess
it's specifically targeted to only. Destroy certain types of cells.
Interesting.
For reasons.
Also, why?
Why not? That's my only thing.
I guess, yeah. Yeah.
But moving on. Unless you got something else to say.
I just like to quote what the fuck's the guy's name from Jurassic Park? Jeff Goldblum's character, Malcolm. To quote Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park. Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they weren't concerned with whether or not they should.
Pretty much.
Like, yes, I can create a robot with voice recognition and voice mimicry, and can run 30 miles an hour or 30 kilometers an hour and climb 15 kilometers an hour, and apparently has a laser that can shoot through skin, but not inner organs and bone. But should I make this robot? Oh god!
You're wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. Realistically, so he has a giant ass hole in his chest. I don't know how he survived and how he recovered from that.
Yeah, how would he not bleed out before people found him in his garage?
Is it like a Star Wars lightsaber situation where it's just immediately cauterized?
I mean, I don't know.
Even so, even if that was the case, if he's like laying on his back with this giant hole in his chest, all of his organs would just like flop and hit his rib cage and stuff, or they go out the back. They'd hit the back of his rib cage, which are pointy, I believe, kind of.
Well, no. Here's the thing. The rib cage must not have been touched.
No, it wasn't.
Like it had to have been. No, it had to have been under his rib cage, like around his like abdomen area, like where the rib cage doesn't protect. Because
or his chest, not stomach.
If the bones, since the bones were not hurt, the rib cage could not have been touched because you can't go through. You can't punch through the you can't punch through the rib cage without causing harm to the bones.
That's what I'm saying, with a laser that specifically avoids targeting the bones
and the organs, apparently. Guys, I don't know. This story, yeah, no, I don't.
Freaking doctor said through your chest, not through your stomach, through your chest, like right there, like right where your heart is, and it obviously didn't kill his heart because he's alive.
Clearly, real talk. Again, research would have helped.
Are there lasers that can go through a man and kill them?
No, just. But also, like. Know where the rib cage is, and like how that would not help when you punch somebody. Like, I think you should just move on to your next segment. Yeah, your next thing.
So yes. Then after he asks like one question, and then the two people answer them. However, I can ask no more questions than that because they just walked out of the room. Oh, why? Why would they just bail on him without him saying a damn word? Or without them saying a damn word. No. You won't know it.
Oh no. Mikey, you know, do you remember a dumb headcanon thing that we would do in the present that you would always prompt? Were these people, in fact, members of the Supernatural Task Force?
Explain?
No.
What do you mean no?
I just walk. Hey, this story didn't have to explain it. I don't have to explain it myself.
Sure you? Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Like, why would the doctor just leave him immediately? He would have so many questions, and he answers. They get like one question out, and that's it.
You're assuming those guys were doctors.
Does the story say?
Okay. So, I figured it out.
Okay.
So, this laser.
Laser.
Is actually
you need to do air quotes while doing that.
this laser is actually a teleportation device.
Uh-huh.
And that's why he was found in his Michigan garage.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where he's from initially, but he had to move to go to Harvard. So the teleportation sent him basically to his parents' house, where his parents found him.
Uh-huh.
And as the cover-up, the Supernatural Task Force basically swooped in and put him in a full body cast so that he wouldn't be able to say anything so that until they got to talk to him.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Mikey, for making this story much more coherent with that bullshit explanation.
And the whole hole in the chest is just a after effect of teleportation.
Oh, I mean, clearly, yeah.
Or he doesn't have a hole in his chest and they're just telling him this so he'd stay still.
Yeah, maybe that's, I mean, okay, if you want to be mundane about it.
Yeah, I do, actually.
All right, fine.
I will.
But yeah, I will accept either of those. Like some kind of a cover up of some kind going on, obviously, because that's kind of from the sparse information we get from those two individuals. I kind of got the impression that it was some kind of a cover up going on or something.
Especially because they just leave.
Oh my god, we're still in November. So yeah. What's the next thing there, gamer?
just my last one is just the last line being the robot was missing. And my first response to that was, yeah, no shit. It'd be missing. It was just moving around doing shit. Apparently,
Yep.
It might have just took you to fucking a different place, apparently. Who knows?
Yep.
But the way that this went, this could have went one of two ways. Either he gets back and it's gone and it's out there terrorizing, which is what is told to us, and which is what I figured would happen. Or if he got back and it's still there, waiting for him to come home and do it again, which I feel like would have been way better.
Much cooler. So cool. God damn it.
Just sitting there ready. Like, come he's back. Like, I'll get him again.
He just comes back and just like quotes another cryptic line. It's like, and God hath abandoned us.
Or like even the same line. And it's almost like a Groundhog Day situation for him. Dude, if I go home, a robot's going to murder me. No, I don't want to go home. Like, really? Yeah, a robot's going to murder you. Get the hell out of here. No.
Yeah. No. Man. Yeah, it just ends on that. On that, like him, like coming into his house and like then see it, and then like the chair swivels around in his living room, and it's the robot sitting there.
Mm-hmm. I just imagine the robot just always sitting there on his workbench.
Oh yeah,
it's like as soon as he gets home, it's there. It's like, oh no, and like it would have been like, especially if the robot wasn't acting on its own, and the doctors didn't actually tell him anything about finding the robot near him or anything at all. So. Yeah. Who fucking knows what happened? But then he'd have to think about if he's even going to continue working on this if the robot was still there, or redo him, or like to fix whatever caused him to go haywire or completely break him. You know, because
yeah,
that's the thing.
This is a case where I think like you could either fade to black as he comes back into his house and like stops as he sees the robot there waiting, and then like that's where you fade to black. But or you could go further and just like and then have like him like postulating on what he's gonna do next. That or
fade to black there, or just he just picks up a hammer and he just stares at it. He's like, I don't know what to do,
and then fade to black.
There's so many fade to black opportunities.
Yeah.
It also leaves us. How did I word this? Also leaves would leave us. Okay. Either way. It leaves us wondering if a person attacked him and took all that flesh out of him, or if it was the robot on its own. If it was the robot and he came home and the robot was there, it'd be awesome if the robot was just sitting on his workshop table, like covered in his maker's flesh. Like he made himself skin for himself.
Oh God. It's like the puppet. It's like, so there's a horror RPG called Puppet Land. And the main antagonist is named Punch, because he killed the Maker, who's like the human like puppeteer god character of Puppetland, and took off his face to wear it as a mask, because he is now the new Maker. Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it's kind of like that, like the whole like Frankenstein kind of thing, where like the creature will usurp the creator kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
If that kind of thing was the ending, where he's just sitting there covered in the, like, dead and slightly rotting flesh of his owner because he's been away for months healing, that would warrant the intro being like, it's not for the faint-hearted, though. But as it is, faint-hearted could read this, it's fine.
No, yeah, like, he doesn't even, like, the wound isn't that bad. Like, the wound is impossible.
It's cartoon.
Yeah, it's cartoonish. Yeah. I mean, like the title card for this original episode is literally Dr. Leviathan with a comical circular hole in his chest.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Hey, that's all.
Okay. So, on to final thoughts then, and I'm going to start with this quote, the last quote of the story entirely. Author's notes. All right, so this is the first pasta that I've done that involves a robot. It actually worked out pretty well in my preference. Let's see people's opinions on this one. Welp, you want them, you got them. Twice for one of us.
Two times.
Two times. Two mice. this story needs a lot of work. The beginning is very shaky. There needs to be some additional content to help transition between set pieces and scenes. On top of that, a lot of things just happen with no rhyme or reason. I like the core idea of building a robot and then abandoning it and it remembering that and like going nuts as a, and escaping and going nuts as a result of that. But I can't, in good conscience, as before in the original episode, recommend this story before it gets a serious editing done. If you want to listen to the original episode we did, in the present it still exists, not in the 20, in the 2080s. It's apparently the last one of the last El Dente episodes still around.
It was hard to remember, honestly.
Yeah. My opinion hasn't really changed in 5 years. My opinion really hasn't changed in 5 years as I listened to that one. This is just a little bit more in depth on why,
yeah.
Because we did like a 34-minute episode back in the day. But that was in the before times, before we even had like a solid format of the podcast. So, between like the super shaky and like there's just stuff that needs to be cut out, removed, added. Some things had to be added in. It just needs a really strong retooling before I could accept it as a good story, like for the core idea. The core idea is cool, of like building a robot and forgetting it and stuff. But the execution was terrible.
So you recommend the concept, just not the execution.
Yeah, and I mean, past me would recommend the story as a bad pasta, like if you want to get some chuckles. But more constructive me now, I don't think I could even recommend it. Just like it needs a complete retooling. For that core, to do that core concept a much better service.
Maybe it's just my own personal opinion, but I don't even see it as like so bad that it's funny. Like,
what you just said. Apparently, really? We did 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago, me and Leviathan both thought it was hilarious.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Geez, spoilers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, now we don't need to do that anymore. Gosh.
No, you guys. No, you guys consider the revelation.
There's no point. All right,
I'll just be sure to tell your past selves to do it, because they haven't heard about it.
Oh yeah, they'll listen to you too.
That's true. Yeah. So yeah, Mikey, the Ascendant Evil, your thoughts, final thoughts, and recommendations.
All right, I really didn't like how Nair fast tracked his career, like no time at all, career wise. That's really where the story lost me.
It just seems really unrealistic.
Yeah. And then when the robot actually starts acting creepy, it's one night, then the next night, and then bam, the story's done.
Yeah, it escalates way too quickly.
And the way robots typically work, is that they're built to serve a specific purpose. So the basic examples, you have a robot that climbs upstairs. They're programmed for the specific purpose of climbing upstairs. And that's one of the reasons why Claptrap in Borderlands is so hilarious, because he can't go upstairs.
Yeah. You know, I think the story would have actually been really like been serviced really well if we'd gotten like not a manifesto, but like the reason he's building this robot to have all these different things, other than just to build a robot because it's cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I see that as like, a legit reason. Like, if you have the ability to make a robot walk, why wouldn't you try to make him walk faster?
You know? Then honestly, scrap all of this bullshit about like rising through the ranks of Harvard. Have that already put into the story that you're there. And the reason, and put the reason why you were so dead set on being an engineer and programmer in Harvard is because you wanted to create a really cool robot. Like that's a good enough, if that's a good enough reason, then yeah, like that should be implemented right off the get-go in the story.
Because like generally speaking, the short form answer of why anyone makes a robot is because they're trying to see if they can make a robotic person, like someone to do all the things that a person can. Hence why Nair wants this robot to be able to run really quick. He wants to be able to climb walls. Wants to be able to shoot lasers from his eyes, all things that humans can do. You know, it's
well, but humans can't climb walls unless there's handholds.
I like how you go there first, not the laser from the eyes.
I mean, what are you talking about, gamer? Like,
oh, you can go.
This is the 2080s, right? Like, don't humans all have laser vision yet now?
Only when they have their eyes replaced with laser eyes. It's not natural.
With the cyber eyes. Also, quick aside, is that an augment you think in Shadowrun? for your cyber eye?
Yeah.
Do you have a laser? You have a laser
eye? Yes!
Oh, I forgot about it. You have Kano's
eye? Dude, I got a Kano.
Oh my god, how many times have you used it? Oh, Ray, you didn't use it to cut like a no, I think you used it to cut a wing off of a helicopter or something that came down to get the bazooka or like the missile launcher.
I used it as a cutting torch to take the rockets off the side of a helicopter. Yes,
right. By the way, if anybody would like to listen to our Shadowrun shenanigans, can go check out One Less Die, a Shadowrun and Gaming actual play podcast. I'll stop plugging
that.
Way to
plug ourselves. That sounds weird. Anyways.
Well, you should be used to that terminology now in the 2080s, right, Gamer? Right?
I mean, I have a battery power.
He's like plugging yourself in?
Yeah.
Have you beaten this dead cyber horse in the yet?
No.
Almost. and the other issue is that there's really no description of the robot. We get told what it can do, but we're not told if it has suction cups or it uses claws to climb walls or...
Yep.
Because it just said climb, I imagined it's just a... it's shaped like a man. Sorry, it's shaped like a person. I'll be as PC as possible. And... It's programmed to just climb the same way that we would climb a ladder, just using his hands. It doesn't have additional things for specifically climbing. It's just being programmed with routines that it can use to climb.
Yeah, that's kind of how I figured. Although the idea of it having like hooked claws for climbing is both awesome and terrifying.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all in all, I can't recommend this.
Yeah. All right. Gamer.
All in all, because the immersion breakers really killed it for me so hard. Like, it's been a long time since I've started reading something and then gave up on it that early on. It sounds so mean to say, but it's just really true. Because if I get completely pulled out of the immersion of the story, it's hard to get back into it, you know? Because if it's a creepypasta, it's meant to be... you know, creepy and try to give that sort of vibe. But if I can't even believe what's going on at all, like there's zero immersion at all, like I can't be creeped by it. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, it's just it's really sad, but it like, mm-hmm. And it's interesting again. Like my introspective on this is like, we just kind of laughed it off as a really bad creepypasta 5 years ago, and it's interesting to come back to it to reevaluate it. On a more like kind of critiquing and like actually like constructive method, because we were not constructive back then.
Yeah,
we were very naive back in those days. Like we didn't have 5 years of reading creepypastas and other and brainstorming ideas and constructing
additional pylons. Yeah,
additional pylons and that stuff. Like being like having more of a. Like a constructive view on things, like it's really come a long way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And for this story, like to come back to it is like really interesting. It's like, wow, this and to be able to give more insightful, like constructive criticism on it, other than oh my god, this is like terrible. But like it's the same thing as like this is terrible. Let me tell you why and how you might be able to fix it.
Yeah, which is the important part.
Yeah. So yeah, it's sad. It's mean. It might be mean, it might be sad, but it is truthful and honest, and we are just trying to help, like, for this story that's been around for, like, probably, I think it was maybe a few years even before we got to it, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah, probably because we're always late to the game. Except that one time that we weren't.
Except that one time
only because someone told us about it. Yeah. Either way, with that being said, and all the immersion breaking and stuff, it did stop with the immersion breaking immediately when I gave up on the immersion. Which is unfortunate, because if that last bit wasn't there for the third strike to knock me out, I would have been at least partially invested in it. But
as it was, you were KO'd on the reading floor.
Yeah, a little bit. But like 3/4 of the story is padding, unfortunately, and the attack at the end seems really rushed. Based off the one line of the robot that he gives, he's like mad because Nair left him in darkness for years. I'm assuming.
Yeah, that was my take both in the before times and now.
Yeah.
Did anybody look up to see if that quote is a thing somewhere?
I did not.
Fuck. Okay, hang on. We should actually probably do that because we did not last time, and I was like, that was something I meant to do.
Let's see. If he's like, hook up to the Wi-Fi, and he just pulled it off the internet, bumblebeat it.
Yeah, maybe. Or he just like, yeah some kind quote, of a...
I think.
Is it? It's a quote from Victor what?
Hugo. Victor Hugo.
Who is Victor Hugo?
It'll be a history for 1,000.
Oh man. Shit. If the soul is left in darkness, sins will be committed. Victor Hugo was a
good old boy.
According to MegaWiki, was a French poet, novelist, and dramatist of the Romantic movement. Born 26 February 1802 and died 22nd of May 1885. During a literary career that spanned more than 60 years, he wrote abundantly in an exceptional variety of genres, lyrics, satires, epics, philosophical poems, epigrams, novels, history, critical essays, political speeches, funeral orations, diaries, letters, public and private, and dramas in verse and prose. Damn. He also, he wrote Les Miserables. Or Les Miserables.
The Hunchback.
I'm sorry for getting that one. The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So yeah, he has a, and you know, actually, I can see both of those have like kind of being abandoned by society and being treated like a monster in some cases. So yeah, I think that might be an appropriate
quote. It is. Why and how?
Yeah. Like,
Why did he find it?
Yeah, how does the robot have this quote ready to go?
Maybe he read it from narrator's library. Like, why is it work? He just like went like was he like a library though. In his?
He has no like sentient AI like that. As far as I know,
apparently he does.
Yeah, but he's never like
it's not.
I got home. I turned on the robot, and the robot walked up to me. He's like, "How you doing, Bill?" And he's like, "I'm doing pretty good, Steve. You want to learn how to climb?" And he's like, "Hell yeah." So it's not like that. He's just as far as the story tells us, he is a tool. He's just an apparatus. Yeah. He's not a thing. Not a
person. Yeah, there needs to be, again, a more explanation as to like why this robot has access apparently to a wiki, to quotes that you could only otherwise get either in books or online.
Mm-hmm. If it was said earlier... that it's talking about his voice recognition and he want, and so like I made voice recognition work and voice whatever the fuck mimicry or whatever. So one of the first lines I told you was one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite poets, Victor Hugo. He said this, you know,
bam,
and there'd be a reason for it to be parroted back to him, but it's just
or that he
left field,
yeah. Or that he fed him a bunch of quotes, like from all his favorite, favorite academic types and stuff. Like this is actually kind of reminding me. So Ross Payton from RPPR, in one of their Red Markets games, his character had a dronkey, had a quadrupedal character, which you can get in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, on top of being like his work mule, he could store all the stuff on it and stuff like that. He also had it programmed to just start quoting. Architectural quotes. So like, and it was an excuse for Ross to just like while the dronkey is fighting or like working and some of that, he would just immediately, he just like had like a list of architectural quotes that he would use. But like, it was a nice eccentric touch, but like in a similar vein to like what you have here where the character had given the robot the ability to like, do voice, maybe like the voice mimicry and like stuff like that, how he like trained it to do that, like the programming to do that was that he fed it a bunch of quotes from like various like famous like novels and art and writers.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where we get that quote from at the end. It's like, they're perfect, done. We have an explanation, but unfortunately the story didn't give us that.
Yeah. Anyway, back to my outro.
yes. Back to your final thoughts.
Where was I? The line, talk about that.
Hate it. This is why.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the only way that I put things together in my head for making this plausible is basically someone broke in and is using the controller and fed it a cryptic line and all that to cause the attack and make it so he's blaming it on the robot and not try to look and see who may have done this to him. Because that's the only plausible explanation I can put in, and it's not the one that the story tells us, I can't recommend it.
But it's the one that...
Because, like, if the story gave us... If there's more connecting threads to everything, because we keep bringing up things that are just out of left field. If things were connected together in some way or another, then I would still recommend this, even as weird as it is, but there's so much stuff that just doesn't.
Yeah. You're using old terminology. It's Left City by now.
That's true.
Ah, yes. I'm glad that Left Town finally became a larger metropolis. Mm-hmm.
But as you said, though, I won't recommend the story as it is, but I recommend the concept of it because I like the story that's in the back of it. I just don't like the execution.
Yeah. Yeah, you like the back coding of the story. You just don't like the body of the robot.
Yeah.
Because we don't see it. But yeah, basically the story suffers from the kind of janky writing. Both like you know how some creepypastas they start off strong and then they rush to get to the end and ruin it because they were rushing to get to the end. Yeah. This story did not start off strong. It started off very shakily and tripped several times and then tried to rush to get to the ending. So just needs a lot of work. But the core concept there is interesting. Like we came up with like a half dozen cool like add-ins and like additions or like explanations for like why the things are happening the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that's both good and bad. Like both like good in the sense like that it helps it's a creative exercise that and this is a good seed for it. But it is that seed is there because of all the manure that is around it.
Yeah. And it's not like saying that every single little thing has to be explained because mystery is always good.
No.
But there just has to be something, you know?
Yeah. Like the parts that need less, like that needs the less is more needs to be done. Like that beginning needs to be cropped and cut out. And like some things need to just be like fixed in that middle section. And then there needs to be some elaboration on things in the middle and the end of the story.
Or keep the intro, just make there be a reason to know everything about how he rose through the ranks and stuff. Tie that into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, again, like I like your idea of it all being mundane and just having a rival from Harvard that like steals his robot. Like I think that would be a really cool take on the story, like if that's what happened. But just as much as like the robot like doing all this stuff itself and then like but just needs work on that. So yeah, that's I think what we're trying to get at with this. I guess that was this week's episode. I guess I'm going to return back to the present to 2020.
Ugh. Oh, my condolences.
Yeah. Does it get better?
I mean, yeah. Good side. I mean,
from a certain point of view. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. Well, so
if you like what you heard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to do it or should I?
Well, you're the special guest here, so I feel you should do it.
I mean, I appreciate it. All right, so that was this week's episode. If you like what you heard, spread the word.
Yeah.
Is that how you guys do it?
Yep.
You can check us out in the present on Podbean, Facebook, YouTube, and Tumblr. You can send us messages on Twitter. Mikey's at the E Stands for Evil. The Gamer in Yellow is at the Gamer in Yellow, but without that W because his name is too really long. And I'm at Review Cultist. You can also send us emails for other creepypastas you'd like us to discuss on the show. That's ALDENTERIGAMORTIS at gmail.com. Please, for somebody, for the love of God, send us some robot creepypastas that we haven't done yet because, like, I know they're, I mean, they've got to be out there, right? Like, there's got to be some more robot creepypastas.
You would think. Because it's such good fodder because it's something that's unfeeling, you know? Because it's a robot.
Yeah, like there's so much, especially in like today, like it is my time. All right, we should probably stop this. Like, just drop the bit for now. In these times, like you'd think that there'd be a lot of good like horror sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
that we haven't touched yet. And unfortunately, like, yeah, this one was kind of a hiccup, but you know what? It's 2020, so whoops. But also cool, like, coincidence, and like, you guys haven't touched it yet, so it's fine.
Yeah, if you're something that all of us have done, then that's a big whoops.
Yeah, that would have been a really big whoops, but fortunately, we were able to find an opportunity in this mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But for reals, yeah, if anybody's out there that has a robot creepypasta that we have not tackled yet, please send us a message or email and let us know, because I would love to add it on to another RoboVember, or even just highlight it sometime during the year. Like, we don't have to have RoboVember in November. We can just do robot we can just do robot creepypastas whenever.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
That almost rhymed. if you liked this format of Al Dente Reloaded and like kind of the shenanigans that we kind of touched on in this one with the 2080s and stuff, check out our Patreon, because we have special episodes like Al Dente Reloaded and Revelations, where my two hosts here go back to the stories that they were not privy to, like, before their time on the show, and take a look at those stories to see what they think about it. And they also do Revelation. Yeah. And yeah, it's basically a type of catch up for the other hosts. And Revelations is basically where they go back and listen to our previous episodes that me and Dr. Leviathan did and talk about those and discuss and rip the living hell out of it. All for fun. So go check that out on Patreon, Al Dente Rigor Mortis, $2 and $5 tiers. We thank you, every last one of you who is already supporting us, because you're helping keep those hosting bills at bay. And as always, we very much appreciate that in any timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And to our listeners and the reader, to our listeners and the writers of these stories, thank you guys immensely. To the listeners, thank you for listening and like putting up with our bullshit for the last six years. And Snap Flash, if you're listening, if you've heard this, if you're listening to this one again,
sorry.
I'm sorry, but at the same time, like, hopefully you've gleaned some ideas on like how to make the story better, or like, maybe, you know, maybe you hate it, and maybe you think maybe you think we're wrong, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine, because we're an opinion show. These are our opinions, and we're allowed to have them as much as you are allowed to have yours. But again, thank you for creating the story, because heck, if you hadn't written the story, we wouldn't have had this half hour episode and then a 2 hour episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you.
You came up with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And
through
like
the brainstorming.
Yeah. Like this was a constructive kind of like creative venue.
Hmm.
And also like, yeah. And for our Patreon, like some of the other special episodes we have are plot growers, which is basically where we take some of my stories that I have not posted yet because I'm terrified. And I want them to get posted, but I want them to get posted when they're more refined. So we go in and basically give my stories the same treatment that that we give every other creepypasta, to improve them and make them better. So yeah, you can check that all out on Patreon, and it would really help us out. Thank you. And if you'd like to check out our Redbubble account, we have our logos on t-shirts, face masks, because it is 2020, and shower curtains.
Because why not?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Me and Adam both are like hoping somebody will get that shower curtain, because I would love to see somebody have our logo on a shower curtain.
So ridiculous.
But yeah, you can help us out, support us that way. Again, all that money goes to supporting the show again, so we appreciate it. That has been this week's episode. I have been your host, Review Cultist, as I run back into the portal to the present.
I'm Mikey, the E stands for evil.
And I'm the gamer in yellow.
And this has been Al Dente Reloaded?
Rigor Mortis Reloaded.
Sleep well.